and welcome to July's Library Chat, the monthly podcast by the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, where we chat about books and podcasts with library staff and guests. I am Sarah Williford, Library Director, and here with me today for our episode are some familiar voices if you listen to our library podcasts. We have Denise Bean, our Youth Services Librarian.
Hi.
Leslie Heinzler, our Special Services Librarian.
Hello.
And Tyler Sweat, our Accessible Media Specialist.
Hey.
So we knew this topic was coming, and we thought it was only fitting to do it in July. So I'll just say our topic because it'll make sense, is it's sports. Because we have the Olympics coming up, All-Star break for baseball, NBA finals, Wimbledon just finished, Euro 2021 soccer finished, trade deadlines, drafts. What am I missing?
Stanley Cup just got over.
The Gold Cup for soccer. Kinds of stuff.
So, I guess it's a very exciting sports time. So, I watch a lot of sports, and at most, I'm a casual viewer. I'm a big fan of baseball, tennis, and track and field. I do watch football because of my household. Not as invested. I want to like and understand hockey, but haven't taken the time yet. And I'll just tell you, golf is a no. Playing and watching. So, also, full disclosure, Cubs fan, Steelers and Hawkeyes fan for my husband. And I think I can say, Tyler, people have heard our conversations about the Cubs.
I have.
Not sure we want to talk about them right now. But I do enjoy watching and talking about sports. I was just going to ask, where are you all with sports? Love them, leave them, watch them, discuss them?
Well, I watch them when they're on, but I don't, like, seek it out. Like, I'm not going to be like, ooh, there's a basketball game on, let me go watch it. But I will watch the Cyclones, the Iowa State Cyclones.
Oh, yeah.
Play football and basketball, but that's about it.
I think I like more the festivities around sports, and I think I was talking to Leslie earlier, and he's like, I like the tailgating part of sports. And, you know, come on.
I mean, the whole.
I think I have more time planning the food frenzy piece of it, like creating the food, even going to the grocery store. They have everything set up. So convenient for you to grab for your snack for the weekend. But I like sports, but listening to Tyler and Sarah go on and on and on, it's just hilarious because I can hear them next door. And it's funny, they love the Cubs, but I'm more into the socializing aspect of sports.
Really, they should probably just let us manage.
Yeah, of course.
See, I haven't had to explain. So my wife, she has gotten better, but doesn't understand the purpose of sports or competition or anything along that. And so I like, and the way I explain it to her, I get very passionate about, which makes it even worse for my case. Is that I try to compare it to like tribalism, how we all came from these cavemen that were like in groups of people and we're all trying to identify with a group of people that we can have a common goal together to win something. So that's why I see it as like a community aspect of sports and sort of, you know, pushing towards a goal, even if you're not doing any of the work or any of, like, with the I can watch the Chicago Bears every weekend and it's just going to make me mad without me doing anything to help the team win, right? Like,
I'm still on the tribal word that you use just to
So did you play sports when you were growing up? And then how about now?
I played lots of sports all through high school. Pretty much every sport that I could play, I played. But now, no, nothing. I run every now and then.
You run with your daughter, don't you? Run with your daughter?
You
used. Didn't you do marathons or something?
I did one half marathon.
Okay.
3 years ago.
I think that counts.
No.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Des Moines Marathon.
Oh, okay, nice.
And I haven't run since, so that was 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, did it?
Well, I remember that about you 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I was into track and more drama, more planning for snacks for people when they got done with their running or football or any of that stuff. But yeah, I think track and golf, Sarah, golf. I did do golf.
No patience for golf.
Yes, golf.
Not in me.
So I did running, and so it's cross country and swimming. I tried track. It wasn't for me. It wasn't my thing. But then, like, I always loved, like, intramural sports and those types of things in college and other stuff. And I have played beer league softball. Like, won the championship. Like, I was on a team of guys that were way better than me because I'm awful at baseball. And they were way, way better than me, and they stuck me a catcher, and I would throw the ball and just happened to stick my glove every time without me trying. So that was the only reason why.
That Velcro on your
I showed up every week. That was my benefit to the – that was my what I gave to the team. But now, yeah, running, biking, that kind of stuff still. So.
Well, I played tennis when I was tiny since I was little. And I tried softball. I did gymnastics for a while, but tennis always seemed to push the other ones out of the way. We did a lot of traveling for tennis and all of that. So I played tennis through college.
You're only collegiate athlete here, right? Yeah. You're like the
you are
bigwig over there.
Yeah, she is.
No. So tennis was mine, but my dad pitched in college. It was a baseball pitcher in college, and my whole family played. My grandma, grandpa, and my mom played tennis. Wow. So I had that. And now I don't do anything. Walking, walking. But I can tell you, if you put me anywhere near a bike or a stationary bike, I will be very irritated. I cannot do that. I wasn't so great at the training part. Didn't want to do the running and the weightlifting.
So what about tennis? Do you play ever?
No.
Anymore?
No. Uh-uh. It's hard because I know how I used to play, and then I walk out there and I'm like, oh.
Hey, where is your tennis racket? Do you still have your tennis racket?
I have some, yeah. But they would not be, like, used today in modern tennis. But now I live in a household where my husband is cross country, and he ran cross country and track in college, and now coaches at the high school level. And then my son ran track, and then my daughter runs cross country and track. So now we're all about this weird running business, like people choose to do this every day. So I know a lot about track and field that I never thought I'd know. So my daughter just ran a time trial this morning, and about 200 meters from the finish, had to stop to be sick.
Oh.
And then finish. So I don't understand that. I don't understand why one does that. No. So that's where I'm at now, sports. So I watch a lot, whether it's my family or on TV, but I don't participate. Other than, like, backyard things, like, what is that one? Coop?
Oh.
Where you throw the stick at the other sticks, try to knock them down. Bags.
The bags. There's bags.
We just bought a new one. It's like a stand with a disc on top. You put a water bottle on it.
I've seen that.
And then you're supposed to throw a frisbee at it.
We call that Beersby because the original game is PVC pipe with the bottle on top. And then you have to knock the bottle off.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that'll be a vacation game. You have to understand my family. We're all involved in sports. So the competitive level on anything gets a little intense. High when we're together. Crossword puzzles, bananas, that game, the word game. Oh, yeah. It gets a little. Clue. We can make Clue, like, yelling.
Fierce. I didn't say yelling, but fierce.
A little fierce, yeah. So, sports-wise, I can tell you, if you could see the table in front of me, I have, like, pages of book lists. It's really kind of overwhelming when you go to look for sports and books. So, I was trying to sort out how to manage just the sheer number and get a good way to discuss some of them. So I went down many a rabbit hole as I worked through this. But what I did find was Sports Illustrated did top 100 sports books of all time. It's a little dated, so I had to go look for some newer titles. But there's just so many great stories, fiction, nonfiction, about sports figures, about the game, economics, leadership, humor. So I've got a lot here, but before I dive into my list, I have to ask, so do you read or look for books about sports?
I think it has to be like a specific event that I'm like interested in. I don't like seek out sports books per se. And if I do, it'd be like a biography or not, or a biography or not an autobiography about that certain person. So
Yeah, same with me. I don't really seek them out specifically. If I happen to stumble across one, I'll read it. That sounds good, but no, not really.
Well, Sarah, I seek him out only because I know we're going to get together and we're
recipe books,
this
right?
time.
Tailgating recipe books, is that what you're looking for?
So I'm doing my kind of like a homework, but I did find a couple books that we have at our library that seem pretty darn interesting, and I'll share
so
them
you
with
might
you.
Might read them.
So absolutely, okay. I might read them, and they're audiobooks, and the one is called Who's Your Caddy? That's kind of a catchy title. And not only that, but I checked in to see, you know, what's a popular book that people like to read, and a couple of the books I have are those books that I found, and we have them. Who's Your Caddy? And by Rick Riley, and it's a humorous portrayal of a Sports Illustrated writer's inept attempt at caddying for golfers. I have to laugh because Sarah doesn't really like golfers.
Golfers are fine.
She likes golfers. Watching, not golfing. For golfers of various abilities and temperaments. I can just visualize the iron five going across the green. And then the other book is called Rising Above, and it's by Gregory Zuckerman, and it's kind of about how profile of 11 athletes using personal accounts to highlight the struggles they faced before becoming role models later on in life. So kind of an inspirational read. So yeah, I would actually enjoy these books.
Okay. Well, thanks.
That's all. Thanks. Just these two books. Nothing else of this. So yeah.
So are there any books on your list or that you have read you would recommend or not recommend that you've come across?
I just read one and I shouldn't bring it up because I can't remember the title.
Oh, no.
It's in our collection. It's about the 1936 Olympics and how they were in Germany. Yes. And Hitler tried to ban certain people, and even the USA team wasn't letting African-American athletes participate like they should have. It was really good. It was a really good book. Profiled, I think, 5 or 6 different athletes from the United States. Wow. That were over there in 1936. It was good. I wish I could remember the
is
title.
Is that Carl Lewis? Who's the runner?
He is a runner.
But he was he from that era?
No.
No, he was no, younger. No, he's way younger than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying, yeah.
That would be.
Who am I thinking of?
Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens.
He was one, yes. He was able to run, but it was more the females that they were not letting run. If they were African American.
I don't know, my track starting very well.
Hey, Google.
Carl Lewis was maybe 15.
Yeah, I know, yeah, that's all.
Well, I can throw in there Moneyball. I liked Moneyball. I just like that whole concept. Yeah. You know me, processes, statistics, so yeah.
That's all statistics,
Yep. And then the other one, Cubs Way. I read that because it was actually recommended as a leadership book rather than a Cubs book. And I still have their 2016 kind of their, I think there's 4 things that they focused on because you can really apply them to anything. They're in my office on my whiteboard. They'll stay up there until they win.
Tyler's shaking his head.
I was going to say, you might take that whiteboard home and when you retire. And then
but no, so actually that one was recommended to me rather as a leadership book than baseball. But yeah, those are my two I could think of off the top of my head. So I think I'll just kind of talk about some of the books that were on the list. Hold on, let me get my papers here going. So the number one book that was listed was The Sweet Science, and a collection of articles on prize fighting. A longtime writer for The New Yorker reveals his fascination with the odd characters who inhabit the world of boxing. And then the second one was The Boys of Summer. Former sports writer for the Herald Tribune writes about the Brooklyn Dodgers. He also tells what happened to Jackie Robinson, Pee Wee Reese, Preacher Rowe, and the other baseball greats of the team. And number 3 was Ball 4 by Jim Boughton. The author recalls his effort to make a comeback as a big league pitcher in the late 1960s, revealing inside the locker room details that tarnish the game's wholesome image. Number four was Friday Night Lights. Oh, yeah. One set in Odessa, Texas. Movie. And just kind of following that community and then the... Oh, shoot. I just forgot. The Panthers, who spent 4 months following their team and just about the community and the team. Let's see. I was trying to find ones that weren't baseball. A Season on the Brink, A Year with Bob Knight and the Indiana Hoosiers. That's by Feinstein. And he spent the 1985-86 season with the team and Coach Knight. So.
In his prime.
Yeah.
There's one, Paper Lion. After becoming a last string quarterback for the Detroit Lions, writer Plimpton reveals details of their activities, styles of individuals and coaches in the game. Number nine was The Game, a thoughtful and provocative look at a life in hockey. Then Fever Pitch by Nick Hornsby. Number 11 was A River Runs Through It and Other Stories, and recreates his early years in Montana. And A River Runs Through It, he reminisces about fly fishing with his brother and father in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. And number 12 was Seabiscuit. I have read that one. That was actually really good.
Movie.
So, reaccounts the rise of an undersized, crooked-legged thoroughbred horse, who in 1938 was the year's number one newsmaker over Franklin Roosevelt, Hitler, and Lou Gehrig. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. There's The Natural. By Roy Hobbs, born an athlete who wished to be a baseball hero. When Pride Still Mattered, if you want to read about Lombardi. Not a lot of fiction. I had to go to, like, number 30 to find a fiction book. And it's A Fan's Notes, a fictional memoir, and this humorous yet poignant fictional autobiography. Exley, the son of a hero-worshipped high school athlete, finds himself destined to live out his life as only a fan of football.
I feel like most sports fiction would be like kids' sports fiction. That's what you get a lot of,
Let me see if I can... So there's a couple more. I have some kids' ones. Another one that was on this list was... Because, I immediately go to, ball sports, so basketball, baseball. But this was Into Thin Air, and it's the journal's firsthand report on the ill-fated Mount Everest expedition of 1996.
I wasn't counting that one, sports book. I definitely read that one
as well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm trying to think. There's just so many. So I know I'm not hitting on everything. So I did kind of go and look for some of those are older. So there's The Jordan Rules by Sam Smith. If you saw The Last Dance, you've heard of this one, so it's just Michael Jordan. "24 Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid" by Willie Mays. Talked about Moneyball, The Blind Side. Friday Night Lights and Blind Side were on a lot of these lists. Football Against the Enemy. So this was a Financial Times columnist, Simon Cooper, wrote that this quirky and accomplished footballing travelogue was only in a, he was only in his early 20s when he did this, but he went to 22 nations to discover how soccer was formed human national politics and civilization. So I thought that one sounded kind of interesting. Kind of along the lines of Denise's one, A Good Walk Spoiled Days and Nights on the PGA Tour. The Victory Machine, The Making and Unmaking of the Warriors Dynasty. And this one, if you like the Jordan Rules, they said you would like this one. Focusing on the late 2010s Golden State Warriors. Yeah, I could just keep going on. Sports Gene. This one addresses many queries about what makes the world's best athletes tick. Ali, A Life. The Art of Fielding. This one was fiction. I did find another fiction one. So those were my lists for... I mean, those doesn't scratch the surface.
No.
But then I did pop over to look for kids and teen. there's a lot of series out there. The Crossover by Kwame Alexander is the crossover series. And this one was, this is actually done in, written in verse. So I think there's basketball. Now I can't think of the other ones, but it's really good. Ghost won. Which award did that win? Newbery? No. Maybe? It's award-winning. It's the first one in the track series, so this one is about running. That's all that Ghost, real name Castle Crenshaw, has ever known, but never for a track team. Nope, his game has always been ball. But when Ghost impulsively challenges an elite sprinter to a race and wins, the Olympic medalist track coach sees he has something, crazy natural talent. Thing is, Ghost has something else, a lot of anger and a past that he's trying to outrun. So it's a good story. And kind of harking back to my teen, or probably younger, Chris Crutcher has some good books like Athletic Shorts, Six Short Stories about different athletes. Mike Lupka. He has a bunch of different series. Yeah, one of them's baseball, Million Dollar Throw. So the question is, if $1 million was at stake, could you make the throw? So Nate Brody is nicknamed Brady, not only for his arm, but also because he's the biggest Tom Brady fan. He's even saved up to buy an autographed football. And when he does, he wins a chance for something he's never dreamed of, to throw a pass through a target at a Patriots game for $1 million. He should be excited, but things have been tough lately. His dad lost his job, and his family is losing their home. It's no secret that $1 million would go a long way. So all Nate feels is pressure, and just when he needs it most, his golden arm begins to fail him. So, and then there's Tim Green's series. He has many series. One of them's Football Genius. Another one was by Catherine Gilbert Murdoch called Dairy Queen. About a girl who tries out for the high school football team, and throughout the series, she makes it. So those are some. But, so, I have to stop for a minute, because if you kind of think about what I just read through, you know, we had our 100 books, mm-hmm. and the kids. So, I was having a great time looking, adding books I'd like to read, but then I started to dive a little deeper, and I started to get grumpy. So why was I struggling to find any books about female athletes that weren't written by the athlete themselves? Why did it take me so many clicks to find any of these books? I went back to the Sports Illustrated book list. Not much there, if anything. Not very many female authors. So then when I went into the teen ones, I got even grumpier. Because it was even harder. And don't get me wrong, there's amazing titles out there, but about sports, growing up, finding yourself. But if you're a girl, I just was getting irritated, because if you're a girl in sports, somehow the story was revolving around, like, boys or mean girls. Like, can she keep her focus when on the championship when the bad boy moves to town? She's starting on the football team, but her love interest still like her. I'm just like, what is this? So that's when I went over to Leslie's office.
And yeah. I'm like, hey. Vent? Did you vent?
I did stomp over, and yeah. I'm like, can you do me a favor? Can you look? And I kind of explain the problem, and because I thought maybe I'm just not finding it, but then I'm like, but should it really be that hard for a librarian to find? So I did ask Leslie to do her own search and see what she could find, so I'll let her weigh in.
And I did do my own search, and it was way harder than it needed to be, and I was at the desk, so I had some time to plug around or click around everywhere. I did find a really good site, and it was called mightygirl.com. I don't think it was .org. I think it was .com, and it had just all sorts of books for females and all different subjects. So that's where I found a lot of them, actually. So I have six here that I think weren't focused on romance and mean girls and things like that.
Goodness.
The first one was called Roller Girl by Victoria Jameson. That one looked pretty cute. Roller Derby. The next one was Out of Left Field by Ellen Cleggs, baseball related. Next is Lizzie Legend by Matthew Ross Smith. Sorry, I don't really remember exactly what all of these were about. The next one is called The Running Dream. And this one I do remember was, it was by Wendolyn Van Drainen. This one's an older book. But it was about a female, a girl, I think she was in high school, who was in a car accident. Her leg got amputated, but she still wanted to be part of the track team.
I think I did see that one.
Yeah. It looks pretty good. And the next one looks pretty cute. If it's for younger kids. Gabby Garcia's Ultimate Playbook. I think she wanted to play football. And then the last one goes with Ghost, the Jason Reynolds, and it's Patina by Jason Reynolds, part of the track series. And that one is probably the number one pick on this list that I would choose.
I think it was number two in the series.
Is it number two? Yes, it was number two.
So if it's not as dire as I think, then let me know. But, I mean, as a female who played competitive sports and as a mom with a daughter, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I was disappointed on how hard it was.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, a lot of sports stories are, like, the inspirational story of someone getting to where they were. And you mm-hmm. can't tell me that there's no women inspirational stories that someone else could write and research it. Like, that's the thing.
That's
like,
just it. I mean, yeah. I could find Billie Jean King, Solo, right? The soccer player. Yes. I'm trying to think of who else. I mean, there are a lot of books, but they wrote them.
Yeah.
No one else told their story.
Correct.
Which maybe that's best. Maybe you're the best one to tell it. I don't know. Maybe. But I was just disappointed. And then there's no fictions other than The Boy Might Not Like Me Because I Play Football.
Well, even the titles are that just screams what, you know, kind of what the book's about. And as you read the title, it just describes it. But I mean, just what you read, Leslie, and then what you read, Sarah, is just very, very telling. There is a children's book in the youth. And I feel terrible. I don't have the answer to this. I might have to research this, and so we can add it to this library chat. It's a print braille book, and it's about their tennis players. And she wrote this book. I will find the answer to this. I know you guys are all going to be on the edge of your seats until I figure this out.
It's not called Game Changer, is it?
Who's in it? Who's the author?
I think the Williams sisters.
There you go. Thank you. Yep. Yeah. That's it.
But they wrote it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
They wrote the book. Literally, you have two sisters, yes. Like, that literally made it to the pinnacle of women's tennis.
Well, they still are.
They still are up there.
Yeah. Inspirational.
And, like, literally had to write.
But maybe there's something in that.
It is better than nothing.
And maybe we should tell our story.
Yeah, it's also telling that they are these star athletes doing amazing things, and also on their resume is I wrote this book. They're authors.
And they told their story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I think with there's obviously male athletes that wrote their own biographies, but then also there was four other books that they were included in or written about it, and researched to it a way higher extent.
Right.
So I think that's the broader point.
Yeah.
So
that's my little thing I discovered as I did my book list for this month. So, as we do, we also picked a podcast, which I think was just as hard to find one on. I mean, there's a lot of sports podcasts, and we were looking for one that was just general, not on a specific sport. Mm-hmm. So we kind of took a look at quite a few of them. And there's great ones out there, but we tried to find one that was sports in general, not just one particular sport, maybe with some other entertainment pieces thrown in there. So the one we picked is Sports Did I say that?
Sports?
With a question mark. With Katie Nolan. And here's just a little blurb about it. It is an ESPN podcast and a weekly show about sports and all the things Wow. That is not spelled right. Okay. Related to sports. It's friends who would describe it as curious, fun, and a podcast. Weekly guests will include sports fans from all sorts of industries, comedy, film, television, and science. And the episode we picked is called Better Than Space Jam. And in this one, they discuss things they should enjoy but would rather get done quickly, what's going on with Ben Simmons, what's up with Doc Rivers? The NCAA took an L but issued a statement that tried to make it sound like a W. Chris Paul isn't out. He's the basketball. And then Allison Felix stays good at running. So what did you think of the podcast?
I love chaotic podcasts, and this is like the definition of a chaotic podcast, where it's all over the place and it's just random. And it's this, but they do actually have like talk about sports. Yeah. So that's what I kind of like.
They're talking about 10-year-old birthday parties. Yeah. You know, below deck on Bravo. Like, where is this going?
And I told Tyler, I'm like, this was like my, I'm just like, come get to the sports. But I will say I did find their opening thing where they're talking about zoos.
I know. I caught that.
And zoo memberships and why you need a zoo membership was pretty funny.
It was funny.
Nothing related to sports, but I was kind of fast forwarding through that beginning half hour.
it was a while till they got to actual sports.
Different conversation. Yeah.
It's very, in fact, so when we decide, like, we're going to do this, what we're going to do our library chat about, and we come up with this idea, and always around the podcast we listen to, is it short and sweet, or is it long? And this podcast is nearly, what, 2 hours?
2 hours,
is
that right, yeah, it's Tyler? Definitely the longest one that we've picked for this one.
So it was 9:30 at night, getting ready for bed. I thought, I'll just pop in here and listen to this real quick. And then I realized it was 10:25, and I'm still listening to this podcast. It was very eclectic, and just her whole sense of style of how she talked in the zoo. I remember the zoo. I listened to all of it, actually. I thought it was very good.
So what do you think about Ben Simmons then?
Yeah, well,
Ben Simmons. do you know who Ben Simmons is?
You know, I don't.
I had to Google all the names.
No, I didn't. About. These name dropper parts of it, I wasn't, but I got wrapped up in her slang talk as she was doing her slang. I thought, this is funny, you guys. But I can completely see Sarah and Tyler bantering back and forth. Periodically, I thought, oh, yeah, I could totally see that with Sarah and Tyler.
We're doing sports podcast.
No, Ben, what about Ben? I got us on the NCAA.
He's the coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Oh, we're talking basketball, professional basketball.
Okay. Ben Simmons is?
Wasn't he? No, that's Doc. That's Doc Rivers. I already messed it up, too.
Oh, no.
I knew they talked about
something. I was like, did I get it wrong?
No, you got it right. You're fine.
But I do have to. So I like the parts in the podcast, even though this one was kind of long for me. I like the parts where they ask like random questions. So what was it they were talking about? What's on your list of things you'd want to get done? It's fast. So I always have to say
that. You want to enjoy, that you should enjoy, but want to get done fast.
I was like sitting there thinking about that. I'm like, what is that? So I have to say, I had to agree with whoever said shopping. I just cannot, like, clothes shopping.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I agree with that. And I'm like, I thought we were doing sports. But I'm sitting here pondering, like, why I don't like to shop. But no, so I did what I was going to ask. So what's on your list?
The hiking one I related to a little bit because, well, like when I go on a hike, it's like.
She doesn't like to hike.
No, I love to hike. But it's like I don't enjoy it. I'm just like A to B. It's just like A to B. Like, let's go.
And when you get to B, you don't walk back to A. You get in a car and go somewhere else.
Yeah,
I need like an ending point that doesn't take me back to where I started.
And they're doing
like a restaurant or a bar.
The art studio. When you go into the art studio, those that'll sit there and just kind of, you have that walk when you go into an art studio. She was talking about. where your arms are kind of behind you and you're walking in like a professor and you're analyzing each painting. I am zipping through it because I'm usually along for the ride, and I'm with that part too with the art studio.
Yeah, I agreed with all their answers, even the zoo, and I am a membership family.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we got it, so we can zip through. I'm like, all right, we'll come back next week.
Exactly, exactly.
Do you have an Adventureland pass?
No,
we do not.
See, we're big zoo aquarium people too, but I'm still to this day. I like to go, and I mean, I could probably go often and look because the animals are always doing something. But I'm always amazed at how long my kids can stay in there watching like one exhibit. And I'm just like, okay.
One bird just sitting there.
We checked your email how many times on your phone while you're waiting.
Yeah, so I just thought that first part, I will say, was pretty funny.
The one topic that I was very interested in on the podcast was the NCAA ruling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was hoping they would explain that a little bit.
So,
because I'm kind of like gloss over it.
When think I think anyone can exactly explain what they've done.
So basically the NCAA is just basically taking college athletes and making a gazillion fulfillion dollars off their name. And so the student athletes brought this up like, hey, can we get a cut of this? Yeah. And so then the Supreme Court said, kind of.
Like a sort of, but there's going to be all these other rules now around how you can do it and who gets to decide if you can do it.
And like the monetary, the money that they would give to the students could only be used for like school-related activities, which if you're already a full-ride scholarship athlete, if there's nothing else more they can give you. They can give you a nicer dorm room, I guess, if they want to, like, you know, give you two dorm rooms, you know, but like
nicer jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get an extra meal in the meal plan, but like, yeah. So that's my thing, because when you really like, especially like more today than ever, like the NCAA makes $1 billion like every year off of these college athletes.
But I thought they titled it perfectly. They tried to took an L and tried to make it a W because it's not a win.
No.
It's actually made it more complicated and weird.
Yeah, I think their point was that it made it so in the future it'll help the student side in future court cases by having that Supreme Court ruling in favor of them. So it'll be interesting.
I have to say, too, I was just talking to Leslie about this one, but the section, well, I don't even know if they just got on the tangent, I think, about the, so I get baseball and the pitchers and the substances. Mm-hmm. I get it. I guess I was not paying attention that it's also for position players.
So,
and what is suspicious? I have to agree. What is suspicious activity?
So,
it's whatever. So it's like touching the top of your hat a bunch is considered like suspicious, or like checking your belt a bunch.
What is a second baseman, shortstop?
So that's
leading.
So it would be like a better grip on the ball. So let's say you bare hands a grounder going to second. And then, so it just bounces into his hand and it just sticks, right? And then he can whip it to first without even, in like midair, right? He's like, he's horizontal, he can just whip it.
Would that be suspicious activity?
If you're...
It'd be like, no, like him.
Play like that?
So,
what if you had to play like that?
Where they put it is in like the bill of their hat or in the, on their belt line.
What is it?
So it's not pine tar, but it's this, like the sticky material. Like there was a guy in the dugout that put some on his hand, this stuff, and put a baseball right here, and he just did this, and it opened his hand up, and the baseball did not move.
But you could still throw it if you needed to.
Yes, absolutely. But like for pitchers, you can get crazy spin on it, and you can really adjust.
Yeah, I get that. But one of the things we're talking about is sunscreen. I'm like,
sunscreen.
Now I could see the pitcher sneaking that in, but I'm like, nobody else wants sunscreen on their hands, do they?
No, not at all.
I'm like, slippery and slide off.
And I'm like, what are we?
So that it's always been a rule, but now they're enforcing it. Is what it is.
What?
Who did they check three times? It was like a couple, like the first week of it. I think it was a Nationals.
Yes.
But like the third time.
Same player
after every inning, the first three innings. Because they said he kept touching his hat. And he's like, I'm sweating. So the third time he took his hat off, took his belt off, threw it to the ground, started trying to take his pants off.
Clothes.
He was so mad.
But then you have to kind of wonder, because there's a couple pitchers out there that prior to this rule have had some change in their stats.
Yes. So, there, I mean, there definitely has been, and batting averages have gone up since they started cracking down on it, too.
Yes.
So baseball's all about their statistics. So,
but I just thought that was because I think the sunscreen, it just makes me giggle because they can't put on sunscreen after a certain time of day.
Yeah. But also it was like, but if you're in, if it's an indoor game, which some of those indoor stadiums still have sun, like constant sun. If it's indoor, or what was the other dumb one? You can't wear a night game, I think. Yes. Oh, that one makes sense. But... Yeah.
So I just thought, but I'm just like, oh, I have to laugh at the suspicious activity. So now we're all like, but I always, it, one of the movies we always watched when I was little was Major League. And the older pitcher guy who had like every form of, he had like Barbasol and all sorts of, every, like in different places cream on his body. And then he says, and when, you know, when that fails, he just puts snot, you know, he just uses snot. Yeah. Just like, where you can stick all these different glues and, and the other one I had to laugh is their discussion about the phrase trust the process. That irritates me so much, so I'm like, someone needs to explain me the process. You can't just tell me to trust it. I don't know what it is.
So I think whenever that's used, it means the locker room is on fire and we're trying to figure out what to do.
What's the process?
We're losing really bad.
The coach has zero control over his players.
They said that quite a bit when we had the when Iowa State got their new coach. Trust the process.
Yeah, it's like I'm firing everybody.
They're slowly, you know, getting better. So I guess you got to trust
it. Did you trust it, Leslie?
I trusted the process. My husband trusted
it. Yeah, that is just like my...
The other one, the one that irritates me is at the end of the day. When you're talking sports, like one-liners, at the end of the day. If you watch SportsCenter, they say interviews, they say it 5 to 10 times.
My husband says that. At the end of the
day. Well, at the end of the day.
Like, really? All the time he says it.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, don't overthink it. They talked about that somewhat. Yes. So don't really think, well, that's a life skill right there. You always overthink everything. But, yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to think of what else stood out to me. Well, there, Alice and Felix, and that whole, her journey is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was funny when they were going to talk about Christina Clemens, the 100 hurdler. And I'm like, okay, so what, because she's fast. But they were talking about her little Dorito earrings.
I looked them up.
They're adorable.
They're little bags of Cool Ranch Doritos. It's not like don't think of the Dorito triangle. Think of a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos.
Did she
wear
them while she was running?
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
I wonder if she, because you can like shrink down bags and make them small.
But these are like little metal, like real earrings, like little metal Dorito bags.
It sounds like an activity for kids.
For kids, for a youth program.
And they did talk for a minute about Shikari Richardson, but a whole lot has happened since their podcast.
Womp womp.
And she's fast.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Yeah.
Amazing. So those are what stood out to me, but I had to laugh about the trust the process. I'm like, of course we're going to talk about that thing. So I don't know if there's other things that I missed or you guys thought.
I just like Olympic talk. I'm excited for the Olympics. Yeah, it'll be a weird one, but it'll...
I am too.
It'll be odd.
It'll be an odd one with no fans, but, you know.
There's so much energy around it, and then it connects you back to the last Olympics at those moments. And
well, I think it's really going to test with no fans in the stands, though. It's like in winter sports, like you can get away with it, right? Because you're like, you're cross-country skiing 50 miles off the, in the middle of the forest in Korea. You know what I mean? Like, but here it's like literally you're in a track running the 100.
Yeah.
Or see like who's the fastest man and woman on earth. Mm-hmm. And it's and there's nobody.
Silence.
I do think, though, they've had a year without.
That's true. They've been training. They've been going to different, you know, time trials and other things without it.
But I just worry they're going to have outbreaks or, you know, weird stuff. My side of the family lives in Omaha, so they went to the College World Series baseball, and I just look at what happened with a couple of those teams and COVID.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, during the actual competition, yeah.
Yeah, and so I just worry that because you're bringing around the world together.
Right.
So I just can't imagine like the logistics of like even just hotels for teams and like don't be by each other.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And like in some of the sports, it's easier, right? So like the single like track swimming, those types of ones where you can separate. But when you're talking like soccer or like the ones where it's like, oh, this team can't play anymore in a tournament or a round robin, like then that's when it gets sketchy.
Yeah. I'm excited for the Olympics too. I watch the gymnastics.
Oh, see, I like the gymnastics too. Yeah. I'm always amazing.
The Summer Olympics, I feel much more, back to my tribal analogy earlier, I feel much more like that's the one where you're like, USA, baby, like that's the one, right?
Are you in your living room jumping up and down?
Yeah, oh yeah,
your children will be definitely watching it.
Because in the winter ones, it's all these like old-timey Scandinavian sports that we're not good at, so that's why I don't pay attention to as much.
Oh.
Mine is like bobsled. Uh-huh. Like, that stuff's fun. I like that, yeah. And curling, but U.S. isn't really ever super good at curling.
I like the skiing and the...
Yeah.
I like the gymnastics.
Well, gymnastics
so
is
cool to watch.
That's the best. That's a good
one.
And
they have that music that go... I mean, the music, the whole...
See, I even like the swimming. I think I'd watch it.
Oh, I mean, swimming was my sport, so... Yeah, so that's always been mine, so...
Speaking of swimming, Leslie... As you're always good at guessing things, there's a children's print braille book that was written by the
Michael Phelps.
Yes. Okay. What is the name of that? Michael Phelps wrote this
look that
book,
one up.
And it's awesome. It's a great book. I'll research that one too. But it's a cute book.
We're lacking on titles today.
Yeah. What is it? It's Winters. What is it? Winters? Yeah.
Well, any last thoughts? About our topic or podcast books?
Okay, I have to share this quick story. It's really quick, and it has to do around sports. So we lived in this really old fixer-upper house, and we ripped out the front porch. Underneath this front porch was a newspaper, and this newspaper was so old that it had a sports section that was still somewhat together, and it had Lou Gehrig, which was like the Seabiscuit, you know, you connect it. It had actually the New York Yankees game written on this newspaper, and it had Joe DiMaggio.
What?
It had all of that information in this.
What'd you do with it?
So we tried to keep it together as best we could, but once it kind of came out of that safety spot, it kind of...
Disintegrated pretty quick.
It did. It fell kind of apart. It was kind of safe and sound. Interestingly, though, it was in a shoebox.
Huh.
It was in a shoebox with a sealed top on it.
But under the front porch.
Underneath the sealed front porch, it had this little section. It was very yellowed and, you know, very spoiled paper. But Lou Gehrig.
I mean, the fact you say Lou Gehrig dates it right there.
Right.
So, that's how,
why in a sealed shoebox?
In a sealed shoebox.
Just a random one.
And then... This is really interesting, though, but it had, so they must have been drinking while they were building this. So it had these really large beer cans, and when they drank beer, they didn't pull the tab up, but they used a kind of a, what is it? It just
poked a hole in it.
They poked a hole in the beer, and they were just these really gigantuous beer cans. So we saved those. We saved those.
Those survived.
Because
those
are cool. Whole picture of building the whole house, working on the porch, listening to the baseball game,
but
if it's, drinking beer.
But if it's in a shoebox, it was put there purposely. That's
what
they
know about.
You know what I mean? Like that's like literally they took that specific newspaper and set it in.
Yep.
And was it an Iowa paper, or was it?
It was an Iowa paper,
talking
and I forget the date, because we saw the date.
Okay.
But I just have to think that maybe, and there was a lady's shoebox, So it tells me that part of them is like, oh, we got to save this. We got to save this. And let's put this. It'll be fun.
Is there anything else in the shoebox? Just the paper?
Just the paper. Mm-hmm. Like the paper.
Not like a gold bar or really good stuff that you want to find under a front porch. Yeah.
But it was really cool because even in that same, you know, they had a little advertisement and it was advertising a Eureka vacuum cleaner that was clearly an old, you know, advertisement for that, but I thought, wow, how cool it is. And you're right, you just kind of visualize that whole scene where they're doing all this work on that front porch. But
that's interesting.
We left some beer cans. Mystery story after that.
We did, and we left some beer cans under this new porch.
The contemporary
beer cans or old beer cans? New beer cans. Okay, and we did leave some the old ones there.
Look at these weird cans.
Yeah. Wow. They'll probably be back to the ones where you just put the hole.
And we did actually insert a current newspaper under there, too.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So maybe someone will come along and someday find that treasure trove.
That's fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's my sports. I had to share that quick story.
Thank you. Yeah. That's cool. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining me today for our July Library Chat episode. If you missed any of our earlier episodes, the podcast, along with the book list, is available on our library blog at iowalibrary.blog. You can also find episodes from other library podcasts, like Library News and Braille Bits, on the blog as well. So thank you for listening, and we will chat with you next month.